Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you found us online. The message for today was recorded on Sunday, January 15th, 2017. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson.
Let's put ourselves into that story that we just heard from John chapter 1. Let's imagine ourselves, in other words, in the shoes of one of the disciples of John the Baptist. We know that one of them was named Andrew, but the other is unnamed, so it's actually pretty easy to just put ourselves right into that story. So let me share your story with you a little bit. You've had a pretty good run hanging around this guy, John. His ministry really seems to be taking off. I mean, more and more people are coming to him at the Jordan River to be baptized, and it seems like John is really making some progress. Rumors about John had reached all the way to Jerusalem. I mean, and important people, really important people, have been coming out to see what John is doing. They want to know who John is. And you get really impressed with John because, you know, he could have gained a lot more followers if he just used this opportunity to promote himself a little bit more. Those people from Jerusalem were wondering if John was the Messiah. But John denies it. They were wondering if John then might be the prophet from the Old Testament that Moses had said would come. But John denies that too. And so they're wondering if John sees himself as Elijah. John denies that as well. And so you've always been surprised that he doesn't take more credit. Because it seems like for him, it really isn't about being famous or having lots of followers himself. It really seems to be about the message for John. And that's probably the amazing thing for you about being around John as one of his disciples. He's got this single-minded vision that he just sticks to come hell or high water. He just stays at the Jordan, baptizing. He stays at the Jordan, crying out to people to prepare themselves to receive the one who is coming after him. Maybe that's what brought you to John in the first place. John has been an intriguing person to follow, difficult but intriguing. His message is clear, but as a messenger, well, you still can't believe that he survives off of honey and locusts. I mean, locust breath is the worst. And between that and his booming voice and his camel hair coat and leather belt, he's a pretty big assault on the senses, let's be honest. But no matter if it's the message or his appearance, he's the type of guy that doesn't seem bothered by sticking his neck out. You imagine that one day soon, though, he's probably going to stick his neck out too far. He might even lose his head. So you're standing with John at the river, and this normal-looking guy starts walking up to you. And you wouldn't have even really noticed him, except John starts pointing at him and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Everyone else who's come to be baptized is coming to turn away from their sins. But John says that somehow this man is going to take the sin of the world away completely. And you're intrigued. And then something amazing happens. Before your very eyes, God's Spirit falls on Jesus and it stays with him. And you hear a voice from heaven declare that he's God's Son. You know, after that, it seems like John adapted his message because he had found the one he was looking for. It wasn't anything that Jesus said or did yet. John simply recognized him. And then the Spirit and the voice confirmed it. This is God's Son. This is the one who will baptize not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And you wonder what that could mean. At the very least, you think it must mean that God's power will be at work in some new and amazing ways. Well, the next day, Jesus walks by, and John points to him again and calls him the Lamb of God. And you're so starstruck that you don't say anything. This is the one that John the Baptist has been seeking. And you and the other disciple of John that you're with, Andrew, you share a knowing glance and you take off together after Jesus. And he eventually hears you walking behind him and he turns, you know, and you think to yourself, what is he going to say? And he says, what are you seeking? This guy gets right to the point, doesn't he? And so you try to form words, but I mean, this is what you sound like. I'm seeking to know where you're staying. Smooth. And Jesus pauses, and he seems to consider you thoughtfully. And you just want to kick yourself for being so starstruck. You know, you say to yourself, what a silly question to ask. You know, John the Baptist has proclaimed this guy to be the Lamb of God, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You are quite possibly talking to God's Son. And what do? You make small talk. I mean, at least you could have said something like, to what are you seeking? You could say, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Or you could say, I want to be your disciple. You could have said, I want to know how you're going to be the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. I mean, anything but small talk. And you think about your words, though, and you realize there actually might be a deeper meaning. Might Jesus hear that? Because deep down, you're worried that Jesus might leave you, and you might not know where he is. So you're not just asking, where are you staying? But you're asking if you're staying. Are you going to stay with me, Jesus? And so you hope that maybe the double meaning of the words could help you save a little face. Or maybe Jesus will just give you his address. I don't know. But then Jesus opens his mouth and you hear him speak for the first time. Again, come and see. And so you breathe this huge sigh of relief. And then as you think about it, you actually gasp with excitement because you've just been invited to Jesus's house. Jesus is treating you like family. And so you go and he lets you stay with him for the whole day. And you're always going to remember that moment when he invited you to be with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. And after having met and gotten to know Jesus, it's hard to put into words. I mean, you have to tell someone. Andrew was so excited that he immediately went and told his brother Simon. And you go and tell people too. But, you know, one day you think once all this makes a little bit more sense, you're going to need to write it all down. You'll need to leave out the details about yourself, of course. You go and tell your brother too. But if you were to write that down, then that would identify who you are. And if you've learned anything from John the Baptist as one of his disciples, it's that the message is not about you. It's about Jesus. We step out of imaginary land for a moment. Jesus asked you a question. No, Pastor David, that's just the story. All right, we'll get this. You remember that famous bit of scripture at the beginning of the chapter? It goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that mind-boggling verse that comes a little bit later. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Aren't you excited to hear what that Word became flesh is going to say first? Wouldn't we be expected to pay attention to the first thing that comes out of his mouth? Well, the very first thing in the book of John, what are you seeking? Not what do you know? Not what can you offer me? Not what do you believe? Simply, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? I take this to mean that Jesus takes seekers seriously. And just to bring home the point that Jesus is asking you and me the question, John the evangelist, the writer of the Gospel of John, leaves space for you in the story with an unnamed disciple. I mean, later in the Gospel of John, there will be someone who's named the beloved disciple. And sure, we're probably talking about John, the Gospel writer himself, but it's also you. It's the character that you should want to be in the story. Jesus says, "What are you seeking?" And these disciples in the story, their response is unimpressive. I mean, it's no profession of allegiance unto death. It's not an answer that displays any knowledge of Jesus or of Scripture. Where are you staying? But Jesus is so gracious. Jesus is so hospitable. It's as if he sees that their hearts are pointing a little bit in the right direction. And so he seizes on it, and Jesus draws them into a deeper relationship. He's saying, "You don't really know what you want yet. That's okay. Come be with me. Walk and talk with me. See how I work in the world. And then you'll know. Come and see," he says. "Come and spend some time with me. Get to know me." And Jesus doesn't give them the factual answer that they might be looking for. He doesn't say, "Go down Straight Street and hang a left when you get to the camel hitch, and then mine is the fifth house on the right with, you know, the Passover lamb blood painted over the door." Jesus' first concern is not dispensing information. It's relationship. Come and see. I wonder if just maybe we might learn from Jesus. How do we draw people into a deeper relationship with Jesus? We can try to answer the questions. Sooner or later, though, there is probably going to be a question that we can't answer. Or there will be a question where a head-on answer just won't do the trick. You know, actually, this exact thing happens a little bit later in the chapter that we read from John. The passage that we read was a little long already, but if we continued on, we'd see that Jesus found another follower, Philip. And Philip, in turn, finds Nathanael. And Nathanael is skeptical. He says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know what Philip's response was? He takes his cue from Jesus. "Come and see," he says. What do the disciples of Jesus ultimately seek? They seek to know Jesus more. But when we get to know Jesus more, we find that we want others to know Jesus more too. It's as if we've been led in on this secret that really isn't a secret at all. And Andrew and Philip show us that when you spend time with Jesus, you have to tell somebody about it. You have to share. And I just want to humbly submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that if you don't feel that way, you might need to spend a little more time with Jesus. You might need to hear what he has to say. You might need to talk to him. Tell him what you're seeking and hear what he says. We share for many of the same reasons that we click share on Facebook. We want other people to experience what we've experienced. We want other people to see what we've seen, but in this case, it's not a cat video. It's the Lord and Savior of all creation. What do you share about Jesus? What do you share about Jesus? Usually the best plan is just to tell your story. Here's one way I might tell my story. I myself started by seeking information, reading scripture. I guess you could say I wanted Jesus to tell me his address. But the more time I spent with Jesus, the more he showed me what I really wanted. I wanted to be clean from the guilt of my sin. I wanted to be free to live for God. And then Jesus took my sin away. He showed me what I really wanted, and what I really wanted was Jesus himself. I wanted God. And so now I want all that is God. I want all that God is. I want all that God has for me, and I want to be the best I can be for God. I want to be all I can be for God. I want to drink from that stream of living water. I want to feast on the bread of life. I want to rest in the purifying presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to be empowered for mission. We each need to be looking for opportunities to tell our story. And then to say, come and see. You know, me being in a pulpit doesn't let me off the hook. You not being in a pulpit doesn't let you off the hook. Andrew shares with someone who he knows, someone who he knows probably better than anyone else in the world, his brother Simon, whom Jesus will name Peter. Philip finds Nathanael. It seems like he knows Nathanael. He tells him about Jesus. I wonder, my friends, who in your life might be ready to hear your story? Who might be ready to come and see? Why don't you come and see? And when you do, tell others to come and see.